KXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The search effort goes on along the Guadalupe River in central Texas. More than 170 still unaccounted for after flooding. Kerrville Police Officer Jonathan Lamb.
If family members had reported a loved one missing and they've returned safely, we ask that you notify us.
In Los Angeles, Mayor Karen Bass hails the work that got more than two dozen construction workers free and to safety after an industrial tunnel collapse.
I was so concerned that we were going to find tragedy. Instead, what we found was victory.
Overseas, CBS's Vicky Barker in London reports wildfires are a major story in many European countries.
Firefighters in the French city of Marseille spray water on the smoldering ashes of a house.
Moi, je n'ai plus de terrasse.
My terrace and my kitchen are gone, this woman says. More than 100 people have been injured in that fire, with others blazing in France, Spain, Greece.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Evers has said he wanted to get the budget done before making a decision about running again. Savannah Tomei-Olson has the data about what Wisconsinites think about this.
The pollsters at Marquette Law School asked Wisconsin voters, do you think Evers should run for a third term? Charles Franklin, director of the poll.
42% say he should seek a third term. 55% say he should not. And 2% say they don't know. Again, a big partisan gap. 93% of Republicans no, 83% of Democrats yes. So that's 15% of Democrats saying no and 1% don't know. But among those independents, the 12% that are purely independent, it's 37% he should run, 50% not, 9% don't know.
Franklin says Evers has a good record among Wisconsinites.
In 31 polls, his net approval has been positive, and in just 4 polls, net approval negative. So it's a pretty strong record. He remains the most popular of the political figures in the state that we ask about.
Democrats are shooting for a trifecta, aiming to take both chambers of the legislature and ensure there's a Democrat in the governor's office next year. Wisconsin is one of 5 states that President Donald Trump won last year that has a Democratic governor and a gubernatorial election in 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
And the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is offering free RFID identification tags for cattle and bison this summer. The DATCP has a limited supply of the RFID tags and expects them to be available until around late September. The tags were supplied by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They can be ordered in multiples of 1,000, and there is a 5,000 tag limit. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers dominated the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a night off after a dramatic 3-2 win over the Dodgers in extra innings, over 33,000 fans in the stands. Milwaukee with great pitching this week from Peralta, Mizorowski, and Jose Quintana. To complete the sweep, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana just stepped up. He wasn't going to be outdone by anyone. Gave us 6 innings, 2 hits or something like that. And the whole bullpen with McGill, Uribe, Koenig, Anderson, Mears, Ashby.
The Brewers closer Trevor McGill found out he's headed to the All-Star game next week. I asked Dodgers manager Dave Roberts what he thought the Brewers are doing best.
It's a team that play defense really well. Offensively, they just create havoc. They steal, they bunt, they hit and run, they don't strike out much. You know, there's going to be balls in play. Pat does a good job with the roster as far as trying to maximize and create offense, you know, with that ball club.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and storms sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Pat Kreitlow is along. We'll also talk to Rusty Volk, the fair director, and Eric Anderson of the U.S. Cube Championship.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight of his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold into the presence of the room. He said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head and with a look of all sweet accord answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, "I pray thee then, write me as one who loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. It returned the next night with a great wakening light and showed the names whom love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. This is Tom Hartman's show. I'm Jefferson Smith sitting in. We appreciate you joining us. The call-in number here is 202-808-9925. We will have, this is my data 10, I think we'll be getting a report from Ukraine. I have been thinking about Texas. I've been thinking about Texas because they had a vigil, and there's still a blame game happening. Now, when the word game is added to the word blame, it can cheapen it, as if accountability is only an exercise of sport, only something that scores points or shifting of responsibility as distinct from figuring out what needs to be learned. In a world that has so prioritized power and money and greed and selfishness, in a country that is doing that to too great a degree, the exercise in debriefing can look very much like an exercise in shifting blame, shifting responsibility, calling out somebody else, because you wouldn't want to lose votes, you wouldn't want to lose donations, you wouldn't want to lose customers. And that narrow-mindedness, that selfishness, often that greed, can keep us from being truthful to honestly grapple with problems. When over 100 people, including a bunch of young girls, die in a flood, everybody should care, and people should get on the same side of the table to figure out what should be done about not only it, but things like it. And how do we build governance structures that open the opportunity for more honest discussions, both better preparation in advance, but also honest discussions afterwards. To be clear, I am not saying, can't we all just get along? That's not my point. My point is that even for natural disasters, even for acts of God, and I mean that in the insurance sense, we have to be in a position to prepare, in a position to be honest after the fact. Are we really in that position? Can we really trust our federal government right now to, like right now, like even, let me even ask my conservative listeners and our swing voting friends, if this president came out with the announcement of what really happened, what was failed to get done or what did get done, and what needed to happen next, he came out and said, ah, here's the truth. And let's say liberals didn't exist. Liberals didn't exist, weren't part of the equation. But what he prepared was the same kind of stuff he does on just about anything. Would you trust it? Would you trust what he had to say? Would you say, oh yeah, this is an honest guy who is trying to grapple with problems facing the climate, facing weather, facing natural disasters. And he wants to make sure that public structures are in place. They're sufficiently funded, sufficiently coordinated. In whatever state it is, doesn't matter if it's a blue or state, a red state. And he's going to, even if somebody were to blame or a campaign contributor, even something needed to change was something that would impact campaign contributors, including maybe oil companies. Would you trust what he had to say? I think if we were being honest with ourselves, we wouldn't. That right now, what this president can be trusted to do is to fight against liberals and to fight for himself and for the concentric circles surrounding him until that set of concentric circles reaches a fence or maybe a wall, and on the other side of that wall is adversaries. I also wonder, would he put the same attention to it if it were in another state? Think about how he treated California. Think about his response to the fires in the Palisades. And how that differed from how the world wants to act towards Texas. The president should be president for the whole country. We should be thinking about how we can build systems that work for the whole country, that think ahead and also look back. So I am wanting to grieve for those who lost and also wanting to make sure that a crisis isn't wasted, and that we use these opportunities to learn. Some of the things that I'm reminded of don't inspire me. They concern me, which is one of the big reasons I'm grateful for all of you. Let's go straight to your calls. Let's take a call before we go. Let's go to Larry, who wins the Most Patient Listener Award because he has been huddled by his telephone next to his 3-foot-tall wooden Philco radio in his oil-heated home, just waiting still. And yes, how is an oil-heated home in a 3-foot-tall wooden Philco radio, and he also has a telephone? Don't ask me. I'm still figuring that out. But he has been waiting to say his poem. And Larry, now's your chance.
It's an honor to speak to you, Jeff.
Likewise.
I really appreciate your substituted actions. Anyway, the poem I want to read, I will identify the author at the end, but somebody might...
Go ahead and do the poem. We timed it perfectly so you could do the poem. Go ahead and do it.
Okay. Woman in the kitchen, man in the palace, worshiping the performance of the phallus. Gaming for power till their hearts grow callous, as if a human's just an animal with malice. Limp lance, phallocrat, finger on the trigger, go ahead and stay small while everything gets bigger. It's a bully's game, and I don't want to play. Why don't you think about a better one? See, of pink people. There's no such thing as a pure racial strain. Takes all colors to make a rainbow. Takes every part to make a working brain. The whole of history is a growing together. If you want pure, you're going to have caves again. Anyway, who needs a geek like the Grand Dragon so full of S his breath makes acid rain? And that's by Bruce Coburn.
Larry.
Singer-songwriter from Canada.
Larry, thank you so much for helping us open the show. Thanks for the poem. Thanks for being a friend of the show and part of this community. We appreciate you. We'll be right back here on Tom's show, here on your show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. The call-in number is 202-808-9925. It's Thank You Thursday. Anything we should be careful for? Anything? Anything worth thanking? You probably heard the rumor you can't regrow cartilage. But what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness or pain. And the bonus? A glowing, hydrated look with fewer fine lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen, a clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. It's third-party tested for purity and packed with only type 1 and 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs the most for healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Louise and I love this product. Just 2 scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. Mix it into coffee, tea, or any drink. It's completely flavorless and easy to use. Louise puts a scoop in our coffee in the morning. Consistency is the key. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping. Only available at getnativepath.com/Tom. That's GetNativePath.com/THOM. Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Issues Extra.
Did you know that every weekday we send out an email before the show giving you all the topics coming up so you could be fully informed and ready to interact with our program? Or that after the show we send out Sue's Stack, a list of every topic I've discussed along with clickable hot links to every source of information I've shared with you on the air? It's all completely free and available over at tom.tv, T-H-O-M.tv. Check it out.
Do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high performance deodorant for whole body odor control, say for your pits, package, and feet. Mando's science-based formula, pH optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide your first Mando purchase with code TOM at shopmando.com. Plus shipping, always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with code TOM at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Eric from East Prairie, Missouri, word from you.
Well, I just wanted to say that if I'm a firm believer when someone tells you who they are, you should believe them. And for Trump to keep using this term of remigration, I believe that's what his ultimate goal is.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Eric. One of the things we're also dealing with right now, we got calls about it, is the aftermath and the run-up, too, because it hasn't been implemented yet. They delayed the implementation so that it won't be felt immediately. And with probably midterms in mind, but of the big, horrific bill. Let's go to Jay from Tacoma, Washington. Jay, you're on air.
I've got a solution for a change, possibly. You got smarter listeners than I am. But how about create a national co-op of all these people that don't have or won't have insurance because they're taking it away, or the uninsured people out there? Join in, everybody pays in, or they could do paperwork or invest time into it and do a national co-op and do this on other issues if they're not going to create our government we need.
I will say, no, it is really interesting. So the co-op model, alternative ownership models for businesses, I think is a really worthwhile subject, not only to dig into academically, but to start working on. A thing that has been hard for co-ops is collective action problems. How do you create enough incentive for people to dig in and really make it great and other people, you know, it's the classic tragedy of the commons, right? How do you make sure that the commons is something that's great rather than the commons is something that withers? That there are examples.
Insurance anyway.
There are examples of excellent co-ops that exist in the world. Is it Mondrian, the one in Spain? I may have the name wrong, but there's one that's truly great. Having a really, really well-run healthcare-related co-op and health insurance-related co-op is a really smart idea, Jay. And if there are, and it would take excellent management. It would take real capital to start up, and that's one of the challenges. It would take real capital to start up, but I think it's a really interesting idea. So, anyway, last word?
If everybody's losing their money anyway, they might as well put it into something, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people uninsured out there. And say you got grocery stores that are closing. You could grow local food and create that thing. It's not just this issue.
Yeah, food co-ops.
We could co-op out of this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Jay. Food co-ops exist. They're popular. You can get memberships to them. They're farmer co-ops. And I think, again, alternative ownership structures are a smart thing to dig into. And if we've got publicly interested entrepreneurs out there who want to start digging into it, let us know. Let's go to, where'd it go? Let's go to Chris from Littleton, Colorado.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff. Calling about the big barbaric bill.
Yep.
Republican cowardly traitors to the people voted to cut 17 million Americans who cannot care for themselves out of Medicaid.
Yep.
Old people thrown out of nursing homes, very sick, losing health care, mentally and physically disabled, losing care. Veterans losing care, rural hospitals closed down, and millions will die so Republicans can loot the treasury and raise the debt by $3.5 trillion to give over $6 trillion to the richest billionaires in the world for no reason but greed.
I can't say it better, Chris.
I think Medicare and Social Security probably will be next.
In what we know is within bad wing think tanks, we had the discussion yesterday about the word right, but in the halls of and in the depths of bad wing think tanks, we know that finding pathways to undermine, either privatize or eliminate Social Security. We know it was Senator Lee, right, who got caught on camera saying that very thing, that he wanted to get, they needed to come after Social Security. Because ultimately, if your desire really is to get federal government small enough that you can flush it down the bathtub, then the biggest drivers, as we've said before, you know, nearly more than two-thirds, nearly three-quarters of federal budget go to the following five things: Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, service and national debt, and U.S. military, right? Those five things. You can't meaningfully, the only way you can keep your false promise, and if it's not a false promise, it's a dastardly promise of legitimately shrinking government, then the only way to do it is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, service on the national debt, and U.S. military. Of course, you can't shrink service on the national debt. You can only shrink the national debt. That would shrink the service. Most of those folks don't want to shrink the military too much. So you're right. The only way for them to keep their promise to their mega donors, people like Mellon, Timothy Mellon, who put in $150 million to the Trump campaign, is by going after Social Security, Medicare, or even more Medicaid. Thank you so much, Chris. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I'm a short timer. It's been an honor to be with you, and I'm not gone yet. 202-808-9925. Tom, we'll be back next Monday. Peter Galili is the CEO of the wellness company, changing healthcare, starting with the medical emergency kit. This is not a first aid kit. It comes stock with prescription medication to treat dozens of common and serious illnesses. No more waiting to see your doc, sitting in a crowded ER or emergency care or the pharmacy. Your prescriptions are in your emergency medical kit. Peter, welcome to the program. Tell us about this.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, our emergency medical kits are really taking the country by storm. We've helped protect over 1 million Americans, and I pinch myself when I even say that. Meds like you just mentioned, things like amoxicillin and antibiotics, every American is going to probably get a prescription for these in the next couple of years, right? It's always something. People everywhere are fed up with going to the doctors, fed up with waiting in line for urgent care, and we all know that the best time to address a sickness is the morning you feel that scratchy throat or the runny nose, rather than trying to wait it out. You need to have medicines on hand in your medicine cabinet today to take. Purchase it online, just like you purchase anything online. There is a 2-minute medical intake questionnaire where we collect some basic data. It goes to our medical team. It's a team of 50 state licensed doctors. So a doctor in your state will review it and call you if they have any questions. If not, we will issue you a medical emergency kit, which will be dispensed through our pharmacy and shipped to your doorstep. It's 100% compliant with the FDA. All of our doctors are registered MD, DOs, or NPs. They do this every day, all day. and the medicines come from our pharmacy, which again is prescribing them to you with your name on it and is licensed in all 50 states as well. So it took us a long time to build out this infrastructure that allows us to do this, but a lot of Americans are taking advantage.
Peter, thanks so much for dropping by and speaking with us today.
I appreciate it.
Peter Galluli is the CEO of The Wellness Company, urgentcarekit.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and use the promo code Tom.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll have our regular Week in Review panel. Dr. Kristen Lierley talks about her weekend show, and Mike Clemens will preview the Brewers National Series.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. The effects of foreign aid on international relations may sound like a daunting title for a Tuesday night presentation at the local library, but Greg St. Arnold of Milwaukee brought a group of close to 30 people together with alacrity.
I want you to find somebody you don't know and just go introduce yourself and say hi. So let's stand up.
When Greg quieted the room, he asked everyone to say to each other, "Thank you for sharing your country with me." He said there are a few things in U.S. history that we can reflect on with pride. Some of those include the efforts we have historically made to improve conditions in other countries and our relationships with them as we all live on this one planet. The hour-long presentation covered Greg's journey from studying abroad in Kenya to working as a congressional staffer for Russ Feingold, teaching for 8 years in the U.S., to his work with the Jesuit Refugee Service in Africa, where he eventually became the Director of Education for JRS in multiple countries. His knowledge and experience with how foreign aid is utilized has given him unique insight into why it's important.
There's three reasons why we should all support foreign aid. Number one is that it makes us safer as Americans. Another way that it makes us safer is by stabilizing unstable situations or unstable areas.
Greg said the third reason is that if U.S. aid, funding, resources, and influence are lost, other countries will step in to fill the vacuum.
It was both smart strategically, and it was a good thing to do, was the right thing to do for the United States to be engaged in kind of helping build and stabilize these types of places. And we've just kind of walked away from it.
What can we do now? Greg said talk to people about why foreign aid is good. Figure out their concerns, such as national security or growing markets worldwide, and how foreign aid helps those efforts. And support good programs. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News. Real news and great conversation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and storms sparking this afternoon, continuing through this evening, and becoming heavy overnight. Torrential downpours could cause some flash flooding. Gusty winds are possible too, and the rain won't quit. Coming in waves for Friday and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined by Republican State Representative Duke Tucker to talk about his recent legislation to institute term limits for all major elected offices in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
So much for all of your support. Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out.
Hey folks, welcome back. One thing I dug into last night as I was prepping was understand it was in response to something I was hearing from listeners. And one listener in particular, one watcher, one member of the community in particular, who was saying, you know what, in terms of the things we can do, and I welcome, again, if people got anything that could go in the 50 Simple Things book, 50 Simple Things We Can Do to Save Democracy, or 50 Simple Things We Can Do to Build Democracy, or 50 Simple Things We Can Do to Build a Progressive Movement, got to think about what the best title is. But what are actions people can take that help? Still welcome your thoughts on actions we can take that will help. I like a call we just got that was suggesting, well, what about health insurance co-op? Joining one could be a simple thing. Starting one, the harder thing, maybe worth doing. Caller we had yesterday said, you know what, one thing I do is not just what I do, but what I don't do. When I decided not to contribute to the Trump economy, I've decided not to engage with companies. They went further, just in general. They're saving a bunch of money, and you'd be able to use it to go on a trip at some point. And I went, and I just wanted to look at it. If people were wanting to be aware of who the companies were that were really giving Trump lots of money, who are they? Newsweek had a helpful story, and they are my source for the rundown I am about to do. So we know that Trump had reportedly three ultra mega historically large donors that gave amounts that the framers of the Constitution couldn't even imagine could exist to buy elections. And that's Elon Musk reportedly put in $290 million that we know about. Timothy Mellon, part of the Mellon family, gave $150 million. And the Adelson family, through their through one of their company vehicles, gave $106 million. So that's $500 million. That's $500 million. Let me say it again. That's $500 million just from those three. Here's some others. If you look at the folks who gave sort of double-digit millions, the WWE, Linda McMahon, a company called Hendrix Holding, Bigelow Aerospace. Here's one that I hadn't paid enough attention to, Isaac Perlmutter. He is the guy who owns Marvel. Disney owns Marvel, but he sort of runs Marvel. He's the operator of Marvel, and now it's owned by Disney through a strategic partnership, but he still gets the dough from it. And here's the quote from the Hollywood Reporter: Disney owns Marvel, but Ike gets to control every budget and everything spent on marketing down to the penny. Marvel operates as a semi-autonomous unit within Disney, similar to ESPN and Pixar, according to the Financial Times. So that's Isaac Perlmutter. And he gave $12.4 million. So when you're thinking about those Marvel movies, be aware that dude gets a bunch from it. Uline, big company, gave $10 million. Pratt Industries, Cantor Fitzgerald, ABC Supply, not to be confused with the news station, gave $10 or $11 million. British American Tobacco gave $10 million. Southern Waste Systems gave $9 million. Andreessen Horowitz, the investment firm, we know they gave $7 million that we know about. Here's one I didn't know. Jimmy John, the guy who runs Jimmy John's, the sandwich shop, $3.1 million. Every time you eat a Jimmy John's sandwich, you're supporting a guy who was one of Trump's biggest donors. Bernard Marcus, former CEO of Home Depot, gave $2.7 million. The Winklevoss twins, those sweethearts that helped in the early days of Facebook and then sued Mark Zuckerberg, they gave $2.7 million. XL Communications, Geo Southern Energy, the J. Joe Ricketts of TD Ameritrade gave $2 million. Chevron gave $2 million. Robinhood Markets, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that company, but they've got an app out there. They gave $2 million to the Trump campaign. Roger Penske of Penske Corporation gave $1.1 million. Oh, we've got some others that gave pretty big amounts. AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, all of them each gave $1 million, probably making sure they weren't getting all sort of the big carriers, making sure they didn't get targeted. Q Cells, Abbott Labs. PayPal gave $250,000. Coca-Cola kicked in. Instacart and Airbnb kicked in $100,000. I don't know what they might have given on the other side. I don't. Once you have this large company that gives a six-figure gift, six-figure donation, I wonder if there's others. So anyway, those are some of them. But I decided not to eat at Jimmy John's yesterday. And you know, there's a lot of really good sandwich shops out there. Turns out, let's go to Toti. Toti, you're on the air.
Hey, good. How are you? I wanted to speak about the protests, the No King's Day,
okay.
Because I am incredibly saddened and despondent, and I haven't heard anyone speak about this, and sadly, I think people are celebrating those protests as a success. I think they were a horrible failure. I think they were an exercise in obedience and not a protest. And
why do you say, Toti, you're calling from Iceland? Is that true?
No, I'm calling from Malta, but I'm Icelandic.
Got
but
it.
I live
calling
in Malta.
From Malta. Got it. Okay.
All right. But I participated in the pots and pans revolution in Iceland.
Okay.
And along with a quarter of my countrymen, at one point, the government said, "Oh, I'm sorry. So we gave all the bankers the key to all the credit of the country, and they're all bankrupt, and all the banks are bankrupt, and you've lost everything." Mm-hmm. And people weren't happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is that there were a series of protests. And they were nonviolent. Nobody was there to hurt anyone or to plant explosions or anything like that. But they were not peaceful. They were about disrupting the peace. They were about saying, we've had enough. And there was consistently more and more weight put on them. And in the end, people surrounded the parliament, not with weapons to raid it, but to pelter it with food. And, you know, steer constantly, eggs, same with police. They were just covered in food. And they were made exhausted from morning until night. And it's called pots and pans because everyone brought pots and pans and just constantly banged and screamed and blew whistles until the government had to resign. It wasn't about, oh, we are offended and we're going to show it by marching on a nice Saturday. No, it's here's the line. That's how democracy looks like. And the thing is that the overreach of the police, I mean, half an hour they closed a highway in L.A. Oh, my God, who's heard of such a tragedy? A minor inconvenience on par with a fender bender. And one of the very heroes of the protest is the one that employs militarized police with tear gas and rubber bullets to open the highway and applauds himself and the opposition for we kept it so peaceful there was no reason to use the Marines. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking back to
the No Kings protest, so your critique is that it was too nice of a Saturday, your critique is it weren't enough people, your critique is it was too peaceful.
The critique is this. Number one, much too few. It was 5 million, according to Wikipedia. You need at least 3 to 4% on the street. You can look it up everywhere, at least. You need 10 to 15 at least, consistently. Second of all, there was this display, almost a beautiful art display of protest, where you had 3 or 4 robot cars driving down the streets, burning. No individual hurt, no glass broken, you know, just this car, only owned by corporations. And the governor says, we will hunt them down and put them to prison. No, there are few bad apples. I want to have a T-shirt that says, we're all bad apples. I am Spartacus. It's nonviolent, but it should not be peaceful. And thirdly, it's the celebrating of it, happened weeks ago, which makes it how much fascism has happened in the 3 weeks since that little march has happened. No, the opposition hasn't begun. And I don't know what it takes for
all
people to wake up.
All right, Toti. Well, I want to respond, and thank you. So here's where I'd agree and here's where I'd quibble. I agree 5 million is not enough, and 5 million is a lot more than I've done. And 5 million is probably more than happened in Iceland. How many people, what's the population of Iceland?
It's 350,000.
Okay. So the it was
25% of the 25% of the
I get it. And I know that Erica Chenoweth numbers, the research from Harvard, the research that showed that that if you can hit that sort of 3.5, at least in the past,
yeah,
if you reach that sort of 3.5% number, which in this country would be 11.9 million people, so let's call it 12 million around, that seems like a good number. Now that doesn't mean 12 million people showing up once.
Yeah.
That means 12 million people consistently engaged in resisting the current regime of power. What I would say is, I agree is it needs to get bigger.
I agree with everything, yeah.
What I don't agree with, we're about to go to break, and thank you very much, Tody. What I don't agree with is that I'm not sure that they did it wrong. I think they need to do it in a way that grows. I think the next one needs to be more. And I do think it needs to feel like not a celebration of completion, but an exercise in movement building that has to continue to grow and double and maybe double again. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So one of the simple things we can do to build democracy is to resist this current regime. How do we get to 12 million people doing consistently?
Can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Mando's coming back to town because you probably shouldn't trust your deodorant if it's not Mando, because most deodorants just don't work for working guys. But then Mando rolled into town ready to tackle all over orders before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorant for whole body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet. Mando's science-based formula is pH optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. If you use Mando, you get a Mando voice. Hey, no, you don't. That's not true. Deodorants you're used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form. But Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide your first Mando purchase with code TOM and shop Mando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with code TOM at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Gwen, you are on the air. I think I heard you say you've been holding hospital rallies for 17 weeks, trying to save rural hospitals. This is something I want to say thank you for. That this is the kind of thing, if we're going to get 12 million people around the country regularly participating in resistance and nonviolent protest, this is the kind of thing that seems really smart. But Gwen, I don't want to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
So the scientists said, hands off Medicaid and save our rural hospital. And it's actually wonderful. It's a wonderful collection of people. I use text to organize everybody and show up each week. And so what do we do this week after this big dumpster file that we've received as a country? And I don't know, we're probably one of 400 hospitals that will close, or hopefully we will find an alternative, and we're working on that as well for whole Washington. But I digress. So tomorrow I told everybody, let's just wear black. We'll start with that. And but everybody is busy. They want to make signs, and everybody's having trouble. You know, what do our signs say? And I keep thinking, I want to make a banner, something like GOP healthcare plan, close this hospital 2027, so that 20 people can be holding that banner. We need to take advantage of this dumpster fire that we have and publicize the GOP responsibility for this. We need to place that fire and place that in the hands of the Republicans, because otherwise it's going to close and people quietly go about their business and we accept this as another normal thing to do as part of the Trump regime. So my question for you is, what should our signs say? Mine in particular, the one I'm working on right now, says GOP sold out Medicaid. You know, because we've all got, I want to alter our existing signs. So I'm going to get us old soul signs.
What a good question, Gwen. What a good question. I want to think about it a minute. I might be able to shoot from the hip and give you something that's not terrible. And there's people listening who might also have ideas. Okay, but let me ask a question. What do you see as the objective for right now? I am projecting on you an objective of building more energy generally, of showing, I mean, to me, the magic is not just what the signs say, it's people showing up, right? People being there regularly and setting an example to other people of what they should be doing also. So to me, that is the objective, just having people there doing it and having more and more people raise awareness. But for you, as you think about the objective you want to accomplish, narrow or broad, how do you think about that?
I think it's global. I think I need to work on alternatives to healthcare. So, you know, whether it's a cooperative or something like Whole Washington, I think it's therapy. I think standing there with friends every week. Mm. And I was willing to stand there in the rain. I just by myself, you know, with a sign that just say, hey, wake up. I want to wake up the community. I want to outrage the community. I want to know, I want the state administrators to know we're standing here. We're hoping, we're waiting. We need a solution to this. And I want, and 50% of my community is Republican, and I want them to eat this. I want to put up a thermometer that says money raised to help replace the money that's been taken away from Medicaid. Because 40% of our budget is Medicaid or Medicare related. So, you know, they're destroying our healthcare.
I've got a thought, Gwen. And this is, I'm going to tell you what I think the top objective is. I already sort of said it, but after listening to you, I'm even more convinced. I believe your top objective is to recruit. I think your top objective is movement building. Your top objective is enrolling more people in a movement that is in favor of public health care, that is in favor, be that Medicaid or beyond, that is opposed to the current regime who's crushing it, and that is wanting to raise awareness around the attacks to it and the people who are going to be harmed from it. That to me is that growing that movement itself, that recruitment itself to me is the objective. So I'd be thinking about with your signs, how do you do that? One of the reasons I like the idea of people making their own is because making their own could be part of the fun, could be part of what they do. You could even reward sort of best sign each day, right? Best new sign each day, most consistent person each day. I'd be sort of building, I'd sort of gamify it a little bit to think about how the people who participate enjoy and want to keep coming back and how more people want to enjoy it. The other thing in terms of the words on the sign, which is a question you asked, I might think about a question. You might be able to come up with a better one than this, but it might be simple. It might be as simple as, like, who stands for healthcare? And because you'd be standing there holding the banner, holding the signs, who stands for healthcare? And also welcoming. Hey, do you stand for healthcare? Maybe you should join us. Or maybe you, at some point you get a little URL on a sign or a scan code, which is a way for then people to say, I stand for healthcare, and therefore I'm going to donate or I'm going to go online. So who stands for healthcare? If I had to pick one thing, shooting from the hip, that'd be it. I think your goal is to recruit.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
You probably heard the rumor you can't regrow cartilage. But what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness or pain. And the bonus? A glowing, hydrated look with fewer fine lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen, a clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. It's third-party tested for purity and packed with only type 1 and 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs the most for healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Louise and I love this product. Just 2 scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. Mix it into coffee, tea, or any drink. It's completely flavorless and easy to use. Louise puts a scoop in our coffee in the morning. Consistency is the key. Right now, get a special bundle deal at a fraction of the retail price, plus free shipping, only available at getnativepath.com/Tom. That's getnativepath.com/THOM. Feel better, look younger.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Central Texas are getting the word out today about additional help for people affected by the deadly flooding.
The Individual Assistance Program can provide financial support for things like medical and dental assistance, vehicle damage, housing.
A federal judge in New Hampshire issuing a ruling pausing President Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship from taking effect anywhere in the U.S. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The federal judge said that he was certifying a class of children who are born in the United States under this new order and saying that it cannot apply.
Russia on the attack in Ukraine. CBS's Ramy Innocencio.
Russia launched 400 drones and 13 missiles, according to Ukrainian officials. Kyiv, we're seeing the capital, was targeted hard.
Wall Street today, the Dow is up 240 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.